Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow Redeemed in Christ, there's a television program called Undercover Boss, and some of you probably watch that. It's a show about, well, the premise is that the CEO of some large company puts on a disguise and goes to work among some of the lower workers in his business. And he observes how his business is operating, how these employees are working. And usually it goes one of two ways. Either the employee was observed to be loyal and working toward the goals of the company, even when it didn't seem like there was anybody important around to observe them. Those employees are usually rewarded in some special and personal way once the CEO is revealed. But then there's the other side of it where, excuse me, there are employees who are found not doing the job, or maybe, excuse me, or maybe just working for themselves and for their own goals. And those employees are usually reprimanded or even fired. It's a very predictable portrayal of human justice, and I think that's what the hook is that interests people in watching that show. Now, our Lord is certainly the ultimate undercover boss. He's all-powerful. And yet he doesn't appear among us without first hiding himself. Not because he needs to be inconspicuous so that he can observe us. He knows all things already. He hides out of love. love for us. In today's gospel reading, we certainly find justice portrayed, but it doesn't match up with our earthly sense of justice at all. There was a Pharisee named Simon. And the Pharisees, just to remember, were the morality-minded people among the Jews of Jesus' day. They were the ones for whom sin mattered a lot. They paid attention to God's commandments. They were interested and concerned about their relationship with God. They paid attention to how they lived their lives. But the Pharisees had in mind a man-made justice and not the justice of God. One of these Pharisees named Simon invited Jesus to his house for a meal. And the undercover boss obliged him. Now to Simon, Jesus' visit was an endorsement by a prominent teacher of the day. Or maybe even a prophet, and just maybe, possibly, the Messiah, the one who would save the Jews from their oppression. That's what Simon was thinking. But the Lord had something much greater in mind for Simon. The Lord wanted Simon to see that Jesus is none other than the sinless Son of God, the sin-bearing Son of Man, the just and loving God who forgives sins. Simon and the Pharisees certainly were searching for the sinless Son of God. That's who they pictured the Messiah would be. But their understanding of sin and of justice were all mixed up. They weren't really seeking the sinless Son of God, but a human caricature of that. They were looking for some God who weighs hearts in the balance, and if somehow a heart would be found that had more good than evil, then that person belonged with God. That person would be acceptable to the Lord. The Pharisees imagined that God would observe them and conclude that they were good and faithful to him. And so Simon is pleased to have Jesus in his home for a meal. He's gussied up not just the room, but his behavior, his outward appearance. He and the other Pharisees felt that they had built up God among the regular people, and that they would therefore be rewarded in heaven. And this is all going on when into the middle of this dinner party comes a crasher, one who really does fear the sinless Son of God. She had sinned against him grievously. She knew in her heart that she had misused her own body. She knew that she had put her wants above those of the Lord. Somehow she had heard the word of God and realized that his justice is not about weighing hearts in the balance. She knew that every sin she had ever committed was a rebellious slap in the face to God Almighty. She was so sad and fearful and yet also hopeful, because she had heard the words of the Old Testament that God is a God of love, steadfast love, a God of mercy. For Simon, this was totally unacceptable, this intrusion at the meal. Somehow, think about this, somehow a known prostitute, an extraordinary sinner, had made her way into his house. She came with an alabaster jar of perfume. and she was weeping and making such a scene. And then she opened that jar of perfume. Can you imagine how that smelled? A bit overwhelming, I'm sure. She poured that perfume on Simon's guest. I'm sure he was mortified. And after that embarrassment had sort of worn off a little bit, he wondered about this person that he thought was such an important teacher, maybe even a prophet, that he would, that this Jesus would allow such a sinner to come near to him. But remember who Jesus is. He had created the earth upon which she stood, laid down the clay and the alabaster for the jar. He brought forth the flower for that perfume and the food that was upon that table. This moment, right then and there, was known by God from eternity. And at that moment of embarrassment and shame for Simon, the Lord wanted him to believe in the true God and not some fake God with some supposed justice. Jesus wanted him to see that he was both the sinless Son of God and the sin-bearing Son of Man, and he would have Simon think on God's grace. Today the Lord is right here among us, once again in disguise. We don't see him when he comes to us in his word, or when he comes to us in this meal. If we think what Simon thought about ourselves and about this house, we are wrong. If we have come here today to show God how good we have been or how much we have done in his service, then we have in mind the wrong God. May it never be that we come here with Simon's thoughts that day. And yet we all have. And we will continue to do so. No, our thoughts about ourselves and our God must be like those of the prostitute. God will never be pleased with the record of our deeds. We've broken his commandments. We've failed to love. Instead, we've often been embarrassed to show love to our neighbors, especially those who are manifest sinners. We seek the sinless Son of God to impress him with our behavior, then we're blind to what's really going on in our lives. Instead, let us come to him with deep mourning over our sins, trusting that Jesus is the sin-bearing Son of Man. Consider now your thoughts toward all people. Think about this. Think about the people who have chosen prostitution, who have chosen homelessness, who have chosen to mooch off upright citizens, the abusers, those who are sinners. For whom did Christ die? Whose sins did he bear? Well, he died for the whole world. He died for those sinners. He died for those who lie and cheat and steal. He died for them too. He forgives them. He wants them all to repent of their sins and to trust him as their Savior. And so he gives his law and his gospel to break us of our self-righteousness first and to work faith in our hearts by that gospel message and to bring us that forgiveness of sins that he himself proclaims right here to this prostitute. This sin-bearing Son of Man Simon despises because Simon wants to justify himself. He has in mind some decency, some standard, which if he keeps to it, he imagines that he should go to heaven. Simon somehow believes that he is obligating God to accept him because of what he does, because of his strict moral code. Yet did he even show Jesus much courtesy? Simon didn't think himself in need of Jesus' love. And he misguidedly wanted Jesus' admiration. The thought is in every human heart. Just look at our first reaction to the homeless, to the abusers, to those who milk the welfare system, to the heathen and the hedonists, to the sinners. Think about that for a minute. Man's justice is the way that we often want God's justice to be, but it's not real justice at all. An eye for an eye, well, that's a rule for this world to curb the human heart from evil deeds, but God's justice is to condemn every sin, everything bearing that stain for eternity, to separate himself from such things. Now, certainly we hope that the bum and the addict and the other sinners will amend their ways. But if we're looking for that so that we can live in a better society, then what we are really wanting is some advantage for ourselves. Jesus desired that the prostitute repent because he loved her, because he wanted to save her for eternal life. And so God forgave her all her sins right there face to face. And this was absolutely mind-boggling for Simon and for the other guests. As your pastor, I must tell you of God's justice, the real thing, so that we understand in our hearts that the bum and the prostitute, the murderer, the liar, the adulterer, we are in that same position with respect to God. Sinners deserving punishment and yet receiving his grace. Not because of anything we've done, but because he loves us. More importantly, I must tell you of what this Son of God and Son of Man did for you. That though he lives in the eternal brightness of heaven, he stooped low to walk with us in this valley of the shadow of death. He's the very light of heaven. For in him is no darkness, no sin, no death, only life. And yet he took upon himself all our infirmities, and by his stripes we are healed. He died in our place, that God's justice would be fully and completely fulfilled. Every sin punished with death. And he died in our place so that God's love would find its highest expression in that God has forgiven us all our sins, that he credits to us by faith Christ's own righteousness, so that we stand before him not as sinners but as his own beloved children by grace. Now, this doesn't mean that we call something smart when it's stupid, or wise when it's foolish. Improper behavior brings with it its own penalties in this world, and we Christians, we are to recognize that Christ has raised us up from the grave, not to pay attention to those inconsequential things, but to think about eternity, and to think about the very souls of the people around us for whom Christ died. And that's every one of us, and that's every one of them out in our community. Every single one, from high to low. We are to be the servants of the hidden God, the undercover boss, but not for ourselves, not for our own gain, not for man's idea of justice. We are servants because we are the ones who have been forgiven a tremendous debt. We serve out of love because he first loved us. We serve our neighbors because the Lord serves them. Who is this who even forgives sins? He is the Lord Almighty, Christ our Savior. May our answer to that question, who is this who even forgives sins? May our answer to that question always be loud and clear in our community. And may it always be good news to everyone around us, the good news that we all need to hear, that Christ died for us, that our sins are forgiven. In his name, amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.